Blog Talk Radio.
So I say expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, this covenant's not in vain. Once the promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praise him before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. Covenant Cafe, come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians, listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever he say. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace,
and
Charlie Baltimore.
Charlie Baltimore. So we got three people on the show. So, you know, it's going down. So we do apologize for being a little tardy, but we just kind of getting ourselves prepped for Thanksgiving coming. So, you know, we try to get ourselves full before we come on, and now we're here. Now it's time to get you guys full of the words that are coming out of our mouths. So first and foremost, we'd like to let Lace get into what we call the words of the day. So what is that?
All right, the words of the day, it comes from Ecclesiastic 7, chapter 7, verse 8. Which basically says, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. So just to stop it right there, the whole thing of scripture, you know, keep in mind a lot of times, just make it practical before I even go into it. Making it practical, let's say someone wants to start their own business. When you start your own business, you literally have to invest a lot of more money than you're going to profit in the first 2 years. You're investing so much. So your beginning is pretty much rough. But statistics show whatever person, whatever being they, whoever can sustain or to endure the first 2 years of their business, they are likely to have a business that is unlikely to make it to 7 years. And you make it 7 years, so on and so on and so on. But the whole thing is, in the beginning, it is very tough. So the scripture let us know that though there is a tough beginning, you know, better are you that is patient in spirit. You know, even Jesus tells us many times, blessed is he that endures to the end. He wouldn't say, blessed is he that endures to the end if it wasn't a good reason. And I'm saying that to say that there's a lot of people who cannot say they are blessed because they lack the patience and spirit or understanding that the beginning or this path is rough. But once I make it to the end, there's reward, there's a goal. So those in the Christianity, your Christianity walk, or those in your day-to-day life work. Like some people may be declaring, like today, like New Year's resolutions. A lot of people will say, okay, for this day I'm going to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And then your body goes into shock. Literally, when you switch your diet, when you're eating one thing your whole life, say I'm eating fries, greasy foods my whole life, and then one day I'm going to stop, my body literally goes into shock. I literally start craving things. I literally start feeling things. I'm reacting to things differently. So this is a rough beginning. But blessed are those who endure to the end and having patience in spirit and understanding that you are human. And if it took you 25 years, you're eating something for 25 years, do not expect overnight that you're just going to quit with ease. So you got to have patience with yourself, and you got to motivate yourself. You got to press yourself. Today I learned a crucial lesson before going to church today. I was talking to my mom, and I was telling her how frustrated I am dealing with not getting encouragement from males. I feel like it's easy to tell me to quit when the bad times come or concerning the men around me, But when it comes to, like, good things, like I'm getting awards or whatever, keep going. So I was just telling her how frustrated I am. I'm just so frustrated. And she was just listening. But as I was talking, I was like, I don't like when people tell me to quit. Don't you understand? I worked hard for this. I'm going to keep pushing. If I'm doing it for God, I'm going to do it. Da, 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 da. And she literally said, do you not hear yourself? All those things that you need to motivate you are inside you because you are literally speaking out your encouragement. So it dawned upon me that there are many times in our lives that we are literally going to have to pull something from within to be encouraged or to be strengthened to be successful at the goal that we have laid before us. So what's even realer about it, Scripture shows us in John, he says that in 1 John, it says that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So that means you literally have something inside of you that is so strong, so powerful than anything out here. So you are more than able to accomplish all your goals, but you have to understand that patience is needed. And it's not always what you see, and the beginnings are tough. But blessed to see that endure to the end. And that's the words for today.
Wow. You know, that's interesting that you talk about goal setting.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we all know, you know, you, myself, and Charlie know, everyone knows that what's coming up soon, about a month and about a couple, well, in a couple of months,
right.
New Year's, and that's the ultimate goal setting time of the year. Everyone wants to lose weight. Everybody wants to make more money. Everybody wants to say, "Hey, it is what it is." You know, all this stuff is coming up. So, prepare. I always say, prepare yourself accordingly to what you want to do. So a realistic goal for yourself, only you know that you can obtain that goal, because my goal is going to be different from yours. So my goal is to say, hey, I want a traveling stage play. Hey, you might kind of seem like kind of far out, kind of out there, but depending on what I'm doing, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Charlie might say, hey, I want to promote so-and-so. And so I just remember, you might be like, man, you sure you can do that? But she know what's in her, within her reach.
Yep.
You know,
definitely.
You know, so on the outside, people look at things like, oh, man, you can't do that, or girl, you can't do that. But, like I said, it's whatever is within your reach, and everybody else look at us as entertainers, as this is not a real job or a real career. That someone stated yesterday, they said people look at us because they don't think it's a real job, but actually you come to us when you want to accept escape those everyday stressors. So you go to the music, you go to the movies, go to the theater, you go to the comedy shows to escape what? The everyday reality.
Right. And just to piggyback off of what you just said, it's really hard for people to understand as far as, you know, January 1st, this is our New Year's resolution. This is what I'm going to do, whatever, so I'm going to wait until January 1st, and then that's it. The problem that comes with that is there's no preparation, like in preseason. So my goal is to win an NBA championship. That's my goal. And then the season starts. But before the season, there was something happening. So you got off-season training, and then you got preseason before the season. So in the preseason, we're preparing for the regular season just to go into the playoffs to win the championship. So that's the whole thing. We literally have to have, like, a preseason for New Year's resolutions. So we know it's December now. We're going into December. So let's just say, okay, my goal and my New Year's resolution is to lose weight. I'm going to stay on this topic because this is a heavy topic for people. So if my goal is to lose weight starting January 1st, what we're going to do? Well, if that be the case, let's warm up. Like, all right, if we're going to change our diet, I don't expect you to start eating salads every day January 1st in the beginning. So let's warm up, okay, we'll add vegetables as a side when you go to KFC. From here on out, let's add vegetables instead of just fries and rice. Let's add vegetables just to warm up.
Yep.
And then let's start decreasing on this thing. And let's add more water. You know, warming up all the way to that day, so when the day pops off, we stop. We're good to go.
Uh-huh.
But that's one thing that we lack is preparation.
Yep, preparation. A little bit of faith works too. A little bit of faith in there, because Jesus said, you know, a little bit of faith, the size of a mustard seed, Tell that mountain, jump in the sea, what happens? It'll happen. Positive thinking. And I'm just going to tap into that. If you see yourself how you want to be, I don't care what the world's telling you, what your mom, your brother, the jealous people at work on the street looking at you, you see yourself as what you picture yourself being, and I will testify to you right now, it will happen. People look at me and say, you have six kids and look like that? Yes, I do. And because I see myself looking like this and being healthy and you know, and God's grace, you know, always, always showed me the way on how to accomplish that, but not, you know, not being anorexic, not having to take not one piece of medication, nothing. Slowly eating correctly. So you're totally right, Lace, on that. You just a little bit here, a little bit there, and pretty soon it's a habit. And what is it? A positive habit. That's definitely the start.
Awesome. That's awesome. So you fit right in. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Charlie Baltimore, just to let you know.
Thank you, thank you.
Welcome aboard, welcome aboard.
My pleasure. I'm so excited to be here with you guys, so most definitely.
This is what I want to do then. All right, so we got this new member to the family. And we didn't give anybody any preparation, no warm up, nothing. We just throw in the game.
Call me up out of the blue and said, "Hey, we're on live TV." Thank you.
Let's have a live Charlie Baltimore interview. What do you guys say?
Let's go. Let's do it.
Right.
Okay.
Are we good?
Go ahead. You guys shoot from the hand. You asking
Let's
me?
Go.
You need an intro.
Yeah, we're going to do it.
Thank you very much.
So who is
what do you guys want
Charlie
to know?
Baltimore?
Okay. Charlie is turning 47 in December, has six children, ages 10 to 27, five girls and one boy, of a very strong Christian faith. Been saved 16 years strong.
You got to be saved with five girls and one boy.
Started with prayer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You only have them one at a time, luckily. Otherwise, you had them all at once, you'd be like, whoa, hold on, I don't know about this. Back in Noah's time, they had one child every 50 years. You know, that was easier.
So give us some more background about you. So we know you're from California, where they don't know it. Where are you from? Tell us about you.
Hello?
Charlie, you still there?
I don't know what happened. Uh-oh. That long-distance connection. Hello?
All right. Hey, I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, we can
hear
you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay,
now,
good.
No, your people wasn't following you for a second.
Okay, I know. It was being strange. I don't know. I'll get a new connection for next week. But that's Satan's way. See, he tries to block us. That's all it is. He's not winning today. He's not winning today. We rebuke him. He can stay over in the corner.
Absolutely.
But, see, all of a sudden I said I was born in Hollywood. The phone went off. Just kidding.
All right, so we got to start over then. Where are you from? What's up? Tell us about you. Need some background.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My pleasure. I was born in Hollywood, California, 1966. I went and moved to Inglewood, California till about third grade, and then went up to Redondo Beach, California, where I stayed the rest of my life, went to school, high school, and surfing and volleyball, zero period at high school. It was real hard, you know, but I'm just kidding. But definitely fruitful life. You know, went to UCLA, graduated. I have a psychology degree and also a child development degree, master's degree in child development. Worked and owned preschools. I wrote two child care laws in Utah back in 2006 that also passed. So I learned how to, you know, not manipulate, but let's see, how about motivate senators and
Come
people
on.
Like that to
yes,
to do what's
worded.
Right. You know, I stood up took on the whole state over there because the health department, because they were targeting people. But, you know, they learned. We wrote some laws and got them passed for the people, and it was good. It was, you know, for protection of children. But I love that. Now I work raising, you know, nonprofit funding for different organizations around the world, mostly Christian faith-based, you know, that also for religious rights and freedoms, you know, to ensure that we get to keep this right like we have right now on the radio where they don't have in other countries, sadly, pulled out of their houses and beaten and killed for what we get to do right now on the radio, openly worship with other people
right.
as we see fit. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. What else
that's
do you want to
know? Okay, make sure, please don't let me forget, my lady, she has an organization, it's called Phenomenally Blessed Corporation, and she
okay.
is right up your alley. I definitely want to connect you guys because you know some stuff. You, yes. Please don't let me forget.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm writing it down right now. Phenomenally Blessed. I will search that up too. But yeah, we'll talk definitely after the show. My pleasure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel pretty
okay.
phenomenally blessed myself.
So the last question before we really kick into the show, I'm believing the people feeling you. Tell us your testimony. Now, we got a chance to talk about some things as far as I told you, like, we're transparent. And I love the fact how you told me you've actually been kidnapped, you faced the guns, you've been in warfare, and you come out standing, and it was because of the grace of God. So I would love for you to just share, you know, whatever story, whatever testimony, but you here, you standing, beautiful and strong.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I have been blessed so many areas of my life, and you're right, those few things that have happened right there. I'm probably the only person you know also that's ever had a double mastectomy like a cancer patient, but never had cancer, not once but twice. That
wow.
was, now, that was after I was a believer, yes, and that was just through some errors of doctors that almost killed me, not once but twice, and I said, I'm done. Vanity is not of the Lord. It's what's inside you that counts. That's where the beauty comes from. That I learned only in this last few years. But backing up on that, my faith is so strong. When I was not born and raised into a nice family, so to speak. Half my part of my dad was really good. The other half kind of sketchy, really, really bad things happened. But, you know, no excuse. I don't care. You can be abused. You could be burned by the parent that's supposed to love you, beaten, all of that. And that's okay. Every day I knew there was a God, but was never put in church. I'd walk down the street in Inglewood and I'd hear all the hand clapping music, just like you guys are playing that I heard on air.
Mm-hmm.
And I snuck up to those windows and I would listen and watch. I'd get beaten for that too, but that's okay. You know, 5-6 years old. I looked at a piece of money once and I said, it was a nickel. Never forgot it. In God we trust. And I was like, okay, well, I know you're there. I'm saying this prayer in my room. And if you're there, how about you kill my mom who's about to come in here and beat me after she beats my brother? And if, you know, we could get run over by a truck. That's what I said. I said, you don't get in here. And if you do, then I know you like me. I mean, what a 5-year-old prayer that could be, right? And I can picture now as an adult, Heavenly Father looking down going, man, you know, what am I going to do with this kid? But, of course, here comes mom, beat you within an inch of your life. You know, she had her problems. She had, you know, drugs, alcohol, that issues that were on her, which I understand now as an adult. But, you know, I just said, well, he must not like me. So going through high school and, you know, still not knowing the Lord, being extremely blessed, everything I do that's right turns to gold. And that's the lessons you learn. God gives you talents. You use them. So all the time you try to kill me, too. My whole life, you know, weird things like kidnappings, like I told you, guns to my head. But all, you know, making wrong choices, he will really protect you from those buffetings of Satan once I stay in this little bubble zone. And I learned it real quick. You know, it's like pain, glory, you know, to jump into it and stay in a bubble zone. I'm not perfect, you know, but my testimony, most definitely. I've had dreams, and I've had them ever since I was a little girl. Dreams had come to me so strong, like people were in my room talking to me. Nobody could explain this to me until I started talking to other strong believers. They said, don't cast your pearls to swine. They're
going
to make fun
of
you. They will make fun of you. And so when I heard that word from a very strong pastor, I said, well, who would I tell this to? When I tell people in the street or just talking to them on the side, They cry. They feel it. You know, I have healing powers. I have abilities to tell my testimony and convert if that person is really hearing what I have to say. And many times I will speak in churches or anywhere, just once in a blue moon. People say, you said just what I needed to hear. Or I was just thinking that. People cross that over as the ESP, the TV shows and all that. And, of course, I looked at that stuff too and said, well, maybe I'm a witch when I was a child. Mm-hmm. That's what my friends called me. But it's not. Mm-hmm. God has a plan for you. He gives you direction, and he shows you these things. And then you get blessed in those arenas. Like your voice, Lace, my goodness, that new video of yours, I've already showed it to 20 people at work who are recovering addicts who have various things. They stopped and cried on the spot.
Wow.
That video and that music. And I was wanting to tell you all week since I've been looking at that. I turn that on and show my phone every break. And these are people fresh out of recovery that are working where I work, a few of them. And I know which ones they are. I see them struggling on their hair and everything that they're battling. And I say, it's okay, let me show you something. They look at that. Where did this come from? I need to know the name of that. And so I'm telling them because that is a mighty ministry. But that's what you're blessed with. For me,
I talk
to people on the phone, and it just, you know, and it just, God opens those doors. But my testimony is so strong. I know there's a God. I know that he loves me. I know that I'm saved. I know no matter what I've done in the past that I am forgiven and that he will bless me and that my work on here on earth is doing everything I can. We are our brother's keepers, you know, and there's a multiplicity of ways. Like, you know, Lamont, you said that, you know, we're entertainers. There's a lot of entertainers out there, many, many entertainers. They teach different things, though, while they're entertaining. They entertain in different ways. But this is the most wholesome way, and it brings people to Christ. And the understanding that there's normal, semi-normal people like us that can, you know, flourish and deliver good messages and, you know, have camaraderie with people so that it uplifts them to let them know, hey, it's not that bad. Yeah, I was beaten. All these things happen. But I did find Christ. I have learned that you can't use that as an excuse. I broke that chain in my family. When I was a child, I said, I will go to school to learn to be a parent. And this is my plan. Like you said, you know, like you had just said, Lace, that was my plan. I had a plan. I don't want to turn out like my mother. I started. I left high school at 16 and went to college. I went there and started taking child development classes, had my first kid at 19. So she was my wonderful guinea pig, but it was easy. I was taking the classes and taking her to college. It's possible. If you have that drive in your heart and you know I'm definitely going to break this chain because abuse is a cycle. It is a horrible cycle that just like the drug addicts, it gets passed on generation to generation to generation unless you stop and break the cycle. And that's why God put me where I'm at was to break that cycle in my lineage. And I know that as my testimony and my kids, you know, reflect that. If that makes sense, but that's pretty much it. Perfect. I have much more in-depth things, but, you know, we can piecemeal that out here and there throughout the whole time I know you. But that's pretty much it.
And that's what's up, man. If you got, you can take off if you want, man. Do what you got to do.
I'm just sitting back and enjoying the addition that we have sort of like transforming, you know, this mega, not monster, but robot.
Or this monopoly. You know, how about that?
You know, and just giving people a plethora of information from all angles. You know, it's not just coming from one angle or just two. It's three and, you know, three, what they say is a sign of completion. I don't know. I'm not
like a triangle.
Three
points
on the map.
There you go.
But
if you
have a map on a wall and you got three push pins, one corner's hanging loose. So, Deacon.
That's true.
The Deacon equals up the rear, and you will understand once he gets here. Deacon. Deacon is
we could have our fourth push pin. It'll be God. How about that? Hold our paper steady.
Hey, he got that. He got that whole thing.
Yep.
Yeah, for real.
So we're going to get into a little world news, what's going on. Charlie was sharing with me, Lace, some interesting information about the military. Am I correct, Charlie?
Yes, sir. I'll salute you with that one. I love the military.
Yes, so let's go ahead and share this with everyone.
Okay. The a few clients that I work with brought this to my attention, and what's happening is basically the military is being pre-warned when they're joining the military to stay mm-hmm. away from Christian groups. So
wow.
Like and oh yes, it is. Got me kind of upset there because, you know, our freedoms are our freedoms protected by the Constitution. And mm-hmm. this law firm, which one of them I'll plug, it's actually ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice. You can look on their website. It's .org, by the way, www.aclj.org. You can look up there and read some real updated stuff. And this is all on their website. And I get updates from them that tell me what's happening. Yeah, they're being told to stay away from the Christian freedom groups, too, was tag phrase. So things like, you know, I think what happened with the Tea Party group during the elections and whatnot, you know, they had freedom of speech thwarted. IRS, you know, pinpointed and attacked them and shushed them. That's a First Amendment issue. The ACLJ actually is suing the IRS on that. But also this freedom from religion, okay? So not freedom of religious rights. It's freedom from religion. They're targeting things like Ground Zero Cross. They are doing the same thing with the military chaplains, telling them they can't use the words Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, they're getting sued left and right over this by these legal organizations. I never thought I would see it, my friends, that you would do that, removing top officials in the military, like the old brass. I call them old brass, the old school guys. Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys can retire early. Now they're trying to change the line of thinking. Think about that. Our soldiers going into war without God? Have they lost their minds? Yes, it's very coming a battle right now, you know. And I saw the Gettysburg Address, you know, by our great President Obama, and he was reciting Gettysburg Address. And I was kind of saddened to hear him leave a very important word out of it. I don't know if you've seen it on YouTube.
Come on.
Yeah, that's your leader.
I'm
reading this, and it's like,
What was left out?
The Gettysburg left the words God out. You
know,
when they talked
about
when President Lincoln was speaking, he was very emphatic. The Gettysburg Address, I had to memorize it as a child in seventh grade. We had a play and played the Tea Party group, and I, of course, was the one kicking the tea off the boat. I thought that was kind of funny. But this, part of the Gettysburg Address was talking about the nation, the forming of the nation, and how, you know, definitely we're emphatic, one nation under God.
Under
you know,
God,
and
yep.
He left it out. He left out God, and it was you could tell. Teleprompter reading, so it's not, you know, you forgot, it just was omitted. So it's things like that, and it makes me worry about what's happening. I mean, when you have our military, and that's affecting our military, warning them they're not allowed to join Christian groups. You know, either there's a double-edged sword there. Either you're planning on attacking Christian groups with your military, that could be, or you just are thwarting God and not having God be able to be openly spoken. I mean, I send Bibles to the military, you know. It's one of the things I do in work, and it's like I have people asking me, are you guys going to be able to get them to them? I go, oh, yes, they can't tell us what to do. We will get it in there for them, you know, the Bible. God tells us what to do. But, yeah, it's kind of crazy right now. But you can read up on it on there. They have the whole outlay on it. But, kind of worrisome there. Freedom, our religious freedoms are being thwarted a little bit and played with. But, yep, that's that.
And it's, you know, the interesting thing is, like, Lamont and I have discussed this in previous shows. I mean, on one end, you know, the Bible does tell us we're not bashing any leadership, just to let everybody know, because the Bible tells us not to bash leadership or anything.
Never.
But the thing that is obvious to us is the shift. There is definitely a shift away from our morals and standards as Christians, as beings under God. You know, we went from, it was never, ever addressed in inauguration about, you know, gay marriage. That was never commended until recently. And then you see we've seen this change when prayer was being removed out of schools, and we're seeing how openly it's a problem with the media to state Jesus' name, to say his name.
Yes.
But you can say, and we see the shift how it went from, okay, we can't say Jesus, to now you can say lowercase g, but you can't do the capital G God.
Right.
And then removing that
four-letter word.
Other four-letter words. You know. Come on. We can say B. We can say the B word. We can say the D word. We now are becoming accustomed to the F word. But if you say the five-letter J word, it's warfare. It's a problem.
Yeah, you know it. Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. And mm-hmm. no, for me, I only point out straight from top to bottom. If the top are doing this, who is it that has led them to do that? To me, it's a concerted attack. There's more than one angle, you know, and I have no picks here, there, or anywhere. Like you said, you know, I'm very neutral when it comes to these things and who's in leadership. It's ultimately mm-hmm. a whole world issue. Obviously, it's been coming a long time. You know, I mean, this has been going on for 2,000 years, I guess, on this planet alone.
mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm saying? It's always
yeah.
try to get God out, get Satan in, you know, his whatever. So that is a definite ongoing spiritual warfare. People don't even realize.
Right.
You know, it's something
right.
else. I know it's not that person. I know it's not this person. It's a spirit of contention, if you ask me. That's what I feel
this
it.
Stuff.
I can
stuff,
see it.
Stuff.
I see it in people. I hear it on the radio, you know, and I hear it on TV.
Yeah.
Immediately I stop. My spirit is grieved. And I'm like, what are they doing and saying? I can feel it. You know,
yeah.
but power of prayer. Power of prayer.
It's definitely.
Do pray for your leaders.
And even before we shift into the next subject, you know, I want to throw this little testimony out there. So yesterday, I had the opportunity to speak with an atheist. We had an awesome conversation. And I say it's awesome because I never yelled, nor did I try to force my beliefs on him or anything. And it was just straight up sober talk. Let's talk. And if anybody knows, when you're talking to the atheist, or if we have any atheists, because truth be told, just to let you guys know, I have some atheist fans that support me. It's crazy. It's so funny to me, but it's dope. But anyway,
yeah.
if you talk to atheists, and I have Muslim fans too, so this is all amazing to me. But if you talk to atheists, they're very logical. Their thing is, if I can feel it, if I can touch it, it's real. If I can see it, if I can hear it, it's real. So I don't go by, they're almost kind of taking away the factor of hope, belief, and faith. Anyway, in the midst of our conversation, there were many times that when you're talking to atheists, you must know you have to have some form of knowledge of history or just have a form of intellect when it comes down to breaking down material.
Right.
So, of course, as we're talking, I'm discussing things, we're going back and forth, and there were times that I stomped him. There were times that I stomped him like I don't know how to answer that. I can't explain that. This happened. But this is the thing from the whole story, because I won't be able to talk about the whole conversation, but this is the thing that I grabbed and I learned. His whole thing is, his problem was, he said, I don't understand why I have to, if I work hard at something, why does someone else have to get the glory? That was the problem.
Wow.
Another problem he had was, if I feel something, why is it not right? So his whole thing, and I said, what do you mean? I said, because we was going by standards and morals. He said, because I said, what you call wrong, I call sin. So what's the problem? And he said, no, because things that I call wrong, you might, the things that I call, that you call wrong, I call right. So as for an example, you know, this long story short. And his example was swingers. And I said, you know, how is that? How is that not sin? How is it not wrong? Because we, you know, translate. And how is it not wrong? Being a swinger, you know, you're sharing something that belongs to someone else with somebody else. And he was like, but this is my thing. You know, swingers, they are healthy and this and that, da, da, da. I'm like, well, you have communities where there's STDs are very popular. So you're bringing back to your spouse. How is that loyalty? That's not loyalty to bring back a sexually transmitted disease. But he said, but it doesn't happen in every case. What about unwanted pregnancies? What about the contention of just because we are intimate and emotional creatures. So to share what's intimate with someone else, I don't know about y'all, but my lady, if I was to be cheating on her or swinging on her, there'll be warfare, even though if it's an agreement. It's a form of jealousy in there. So, long story short, going along with what you said about the spirit that's around, the problem is that there is a spirit of, I should be able to do what I want to do. And because God's standards are so high and they have not changed, because the whole thing that he was saying that, you know, evolution, da-da-da-da, and he said, God hasn't changed. I said, that's the point. God has not changed, and his standard is right there. And people have yet to meet it, except for Jesus Christ, have yet to meet it on a daily basis. And your problem is that you want to be able to do you without consequences. You feel like being mad and not making up, you know, being able to apologize and make up. You think that's right, but it's not. Because our standard says, no, we're not to get bitter. We're not to be angry. We can get angry, but we're not to go to sleep on that anger. Basically, to translate that, we're not to be contentious, vicious creatures. There's some justice and righteousness in that. So, but I find it to be interesting because it is a common spirit. It is a common spirit that you see, that you're seeing growing bigger and bigger, even in our society, as far as I should be able to do what I feel. And if you implement a standard or any kind of declaration that's telling me otherwise, it's a problem. I feel like marrying a dude, and I'm a dude, I should be able to marry a dude. Problem. God said it's not right. Oh, we need to get rid of the problem then. I should be able to smoke legally. Problem. It's a form of voodoo. Now, let's get rid of God and let's legalize this. And we can see the transition going. Anything to make us further away from the standard of God.
I find it interesting that he said he don't want to give someone else the glory for what he's done.
Right.
I heard that too.
Yes.
Wow.
And that was one of the consistent things. He was talking about love. He said how love should be something that – he said, how is it that I can't love without God? You telling me that it takes the God in me – I need a God and a Jesus in me to love. Like, yeah, yes. And he said, well, how is it – well, all the successful things I've done in life, you telling me God did that and it wasn't me? Yes. No, I worked hard. I did this. So we see the whole thing. I feel it's about me. This is what I want. This is what I planned.
Wow.
Yep.
So I find it
that's
an
egocentric. Mm-hmm. Very egocentric. But the common thing, you know, I look at it from a psychology major. I'll tell you in a nutshell that thing about the feelings that we have, how we have our relationship with God. That is a feeling,
mm-hmm.
and that's something
mm-hmm.
that you feel. It's in your heart,
mm-hmm.
and you're drawn to it. And what happens is children, and I've learned this, you get messed up in these little things happening to you growing up. You get emotional scars, and you know what?
Correct.
All of a sudden, you can't have that feeling that you don't know what normal love is. You don't know what that level, like in your song had, Soul Therapy. So
yes,
true.
Yes.
These things, we don't know about them and what happened in their life, why that block is there. Other than they're not willing to submit and feel that spirit, and then that they would know, you know, right and wrong. So that's that these, you know, people are getting hurt early and not getting over it and being healed to be able to feel that, or, you know, other derivatives blocking the spirit. But neat.
That's
I love it.
And you said it before I even could mention it, as far as that's one thing you automatically picked up as talking to them. If you listen to a person long enough, you'll find out what's wrong. Just listen.
Yep.
They'll tell you. And he mentioned it, you know. Well, this pastor did this to me. So here we are. Let's get to the root. Let's get to this.
Yep.
So this is what you saw. This is what happened. And the thing is, it's just like you said, you know, you get scarred, you get wounded early, and through time, you put up walls, you block it out. And it gets to the point where you don't want to face it anymore. And it gets to the point where it's just, you believe that this is natural and this is right. That anger or that whatever it is that you feel like you just live life. You don't want to face it. No kind of therapy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The older I get, the scared I get sometimes, thinking, if I only had all these answers when I was born, I would be way ahead of the game on these problems. It's sad to look back at, but we're able to share it with them. You know, if you could just show them, if he would just understand that person did what he did to him because he was a human. He made bad choices. I'll bet that happened to him too. But you see that little chain, and if they don't break it and get rid of it, and look, he's an atheist because of that. He chooses to be, but that's sad. Blame, you know, block it, blame it, and easier to be on the other side, full-fledged the other side. Doing a lot of damage to a lot of people, not only himself, but you know, we have to pray for him.
But also, people don't, like, if you think about it, that conversation that you had, people don't like structure.
Yeah, there you go. Come on.
And when it comes to structure, people don't like it. I mean, I think we all are part of the structure, but it depends on what structure you're talking about. You know what I mean? Like, some people don't like the structure of following God. Some people don't like the structure at work. You know, we all are part of some of those structures. But some people push that, I don't like structure to the fullest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, by him, like I said, I'm still stuck homeboy, like, okay, look, I did this. No, you did not do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, it takes people like you, Lace, to instill those things into people. You know, maybe he get it, maybe he didn't get it at that moment because mm-hmm. of the discussion.
Correct.
You saying your point, he's saying his point. But it's going to take for him to sit down or for him to have a life-changing event to realize what you're saying.
Right.
And it's really, it's almost like a parent move. Like, you know, when your child, your parents say, don't do this and don't hang out with these guys. You make sure you stay home and study when you go to college. Yeah, that sounds great. But when you're in that moment, when I went away to school, it's like, okay, I'm at school. And these guys, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, they say, hey, let's go to a movie, and it's Friday night. Yes, I have homework that's due on Monday, but, hey, that's Monday. I got Friday night, I got Saturday, and I got Sunday. Here comes the whole weekend roll around, and I'm at 11 o'clock at night on Sunday night doing my homework when I should have went ahead and done it on Friday. But that's that structure. Some people have it. Some people don't. Generally, A students have that structure. They can, I mean, literally, we will walk past the library, and there will be people in the library at 7, about 5 o'clock in the evening doing their homework, and then you come back from the movies because you will go out and grab something to eat and come back. They in front of the library because we have little tables and stuff out there, and they were doing work. And those people were the foreign students.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? So they came here, and they like, well, we have structure. We know we have to provide for our family. We have to get this. We have to get that. We as Americans, like, man, okay, all right, that's cool. I got plenty of time to do this work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In college, they give you a syllabus.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
These assignments are due. Well, thank you for letting me know I have time to get this done.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
They give you structure on the paper.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Something to navigate. These are things I'm expecting. They're not going to keep reminding you because they gave it to you already.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come to class that next Wednesday and they say, okay, close your books, time for the quiz. You're like, quiz? They told us about a quiz. Yes, they did. When they gave you that piece of paper at the beginning of the semester, they told us. You know, so saying all that to say this, God gave us our basic instructions before leaving Earth, the Bible, which is structure to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Gave us the roadmap to success that we praying about. Praying for success. And there's a little brown book or black book or whatever color your book is,
mm-hmm.
right in the same room as you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're praying for this, that, and the third. So, yeah, man, you know, we all have our things that we struggle with. And this guy, he's apparently struggling with something bigger than what we are struggling with.
Yeah.
Each people to their own, absolutely. And, you know, to touch a note on that, on the child development section of it, children love structure. They may act like they don't, but they are more comfortable. In psych class, we learn they're more comfortable knowing their boundaries. Whatever you do, don't eat that tree. You can go anywhere you want in the garden. Stay away from that tree. I'm just going to look at it and smell that. I'm not going to eat it, you know, or whatever. It's the same thing with little kids. Don't go to the, what do? You go right over there and just, let me just look. But you're testing your boundary. We do that too as spiritual beings. We know our boundaries. He don't know his boundaries. That's what it is. He didn't have any.
That's good stuff. Okay. And just to throw this out, you know, I already see how we're going to run. But even throwing this out here, my pastor mentioned something that was really powerful to keep in mind. When making friends or doing business with people or connecting with people, understanding who you're dealing with and why you're dealing with them. So, for example, a person that doesn't have boundaries or doesn't have anyone that governs them, they're very dangerous to your soul. Because even so, Satan knows his boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Because Satan knows he has government. This is real talk. So if Satan, because if we look at the book of Job, we see that Satan says, God says, where you been? Oh, to and from earth. So one, just I got to clear a myth out there for somebody who thinks Satan is omnipresent. He's not omnipresent, but just keep going. So Satan says, to and fro earth. And God says, okay, well, have you considered my servant Job? Satan said, no, because you have a hedge around him. Boom. No, because you put a boundary on me. So I can't do but so much with this boundary. So we're looking at us as human beings. Human beings, God has granted us free will. So when we have decided to not be under God's government, we have said, God, we do not want boundaries. That is dangerous to deal with somebody who does not have those boundaries because they can be dangerous to your soul. So even so, we see that Satan is dangerous, yeah. He can only do what God allows him, period.
Right.
So, but if you got a soul, a human being who is like, man, I don't believe in God, I do whatever I want, this and that, and they're willing to take it there, that is somebody dangerous, and you need to be cautious on connecting, networking them. That's for somebody. I don't know who it is, but
good
that's
advice.
For somebody.
That is good advice. I've never heard that in that context, and that, like a little precursor. Let me put a measuring stick next to you for a second. Not as judgmental, but just as my you know, safety net for me. Do I really want to have you influence my life that way?
Right.
I would
right.
be on a different level, but not super trustworthy. I'd be, yeah, that makes sense.
Right, right. Because even if it's so sad that we don't even realize that, that even Satan knows he has a boundary and he submits to it.
Mm-hmm. And he's always attacking because I had a conversation with Lace yesterday, Charlie, and this is really crazy because as Steve Harvey will always say, God's not finished with me yet. Okay, I have a slight temper, and it's definitely in remission. It's been in remission for years now. So, however, I'm at this parking lot. Okay, it's full of cars because there's a parade in the Virginia Beach area. So I'm going to Barnes & Noble, you know, trying to find a parking space. So I asked this gentleman, he was coming out of the store. He's actually walking in down the lane, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, excuse me. I rolled my window down. I said, hey, excuse me, sir. Are you about to move your car? And instead of this gentleman saying, hey, I can't even find my car. I'm sorry that I can't help you out because I can't even find my car. This guy says, I can't find my effing car. You're blocking the effing traffic. And he starts slamming, cursing me out. I won and lost this battle because I entertained the guy. Like, you know, I'm like, okay, what's all I asked you was a simple question. You know, and then he continues on, and I was like, is there a problem? And then he's like, oh, you trying to talk some ish to me. And I mean, he's straight cussing me out. Number one, I should have just kept moving. But I didn't.
Your toe was tapping. Was tapping in the car.
You know what I'm saying? I got caught up in that conversation, but at the end, I ended up having to leave because I felt my temper. You know, your body gets a little warm. Like, what's going on here? And I had to leave. And I'm like, okay, where did that come from?
Right.
From you know
that person that chose you on,
I'm like, wow. And then my wife's like, well, you know, you never know what's going on, you know. Maybe there's a ton of things in his mind. Maybe he don't know how to communicate, you know, the simple thing to say. So I'm just like, I was thrown off, and, you know, because certain things you can see coming up and be like, okay, well, this guy has an attitude. Those are easy things to avoid. Okay, well, let me just go ahead and walk off. But when it hits you like that in the face, you have to make a split decision. And there are people out there that would have taken that to the next level, and then that guy would have appeared to be the innocent one. Oh, I was the one who was looking for my car, and he was asking me about a parking spot. He got out and hit me with a crowbar. You know what I'm saying? You're like, what happened?
It's like that in L.A. It's like that in L.A.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't even talk to people
Grand
in the
Theft
car.
Auto.
Right? You know, at least you got good music.
you know, or if that was Detroit, he would have got probably ran over. I mean, I'm just saying. You know, I was,
points, no.
You know what I'm saying?
Get some
I was,
points.
Get some points from it. But I was pretty much faced with one of my weaknesses yesterday.
Yeah.
Head on. You know what I'm saying? So it was weird.
Lamont, did you notice how you felt at that moment? Do you notice that, like, when you caught yourself?
Uh-huh.
That boundary was there. You knew God would
come
here with a little string.
Ladies and gentlemen, we was into this conversation and you know, we were zapped out of it. But, you know, Al Green said everything's going to be all right, and he brought us back into it.
Prayer every time. I said, really? Okay, I got you. I'm going to throw a prayer down right now. Leave my phone alone. And I'm bound, Satan, you leave our phones alone. Jesus, he has to leave my house and get out of here.
It's all good. So you said that feeling, you were at a point.
Yeah, that feeling you got, you know, a real strategic point to make is you stopped because the Spirit came down on you instantly and reminded you right in your heart.
Hello?
I'm here. What is going on? Lamont, you there?
Are we there?
We here?
Okay, I don't know what just happened. That was kind of weird. Okay, hold on. We have actually a call on line one. Let's get it back into this conversation after this call.
I think it's...
Caller, you on the air?
Yeah.
Hello?
I'm on the phone still. It's Charlie.
Okay. I don't know what's going on then. So you said your comment was?
My comment
was
that, you know, are you talking to me? Sorry, it's Charlie.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, my strategic point was just that, you know, you felt the Spirit, you know, and the Spirit testified to you, stop, you're within your boundary again, and you recognized it.
very important. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't listen, and that's how they get off on that tangent, and they don't stop and control themselves. We're not forced to. We just get little promptings like that, right and wrong, right and wrong.
Right.
Got to make your choice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's weird because it's been years since I've been faced with that. You know, like, I shouldn't say years. But, you know, there's been situations where it was just plain to me. You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, well, this guy or this girl or this lady has a problem. Let me just keep on moving. But it was just, you know, I was smacked with it. It was like, what? Huh? What just happened? I'm not playing Grand Theft Auto. I'm not trying to get points. I just thought that was funny. But and like you said, you know, people have those points where they don't. Well, like what I should say is, we can go back to the conversation we had a couple of Sundays ago about that way out.
Yes.
A lot of times we don't know that way out,
right.
Recognize that way out, and we should recognize that way out.
That's true.
You know, So me being in a vehicle was the way out.
True.
You know, so it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Look, son, you are in a car. You don't have to sit here and talk to this guy. You know, you can drive away, you know, so that's what that was. But anyway, I had to take the high road. So what we're going to do is get back into Al Green, and we're going to come back out to some weird news. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Covenant Cafe with our new host, Miss who?
Charlie Baltimore.
Charlie Baltimore, and of course, Poetic what?
Poetic Lace.
And we have Al Green, and everything's going to be all right here on the Covenant Cafe. And what they say, the devil try to stop
us. Oh, we need to practice that. Our timing is awful.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I don't even know it,
what?
So I couldn't even chime in.
We need to practice all of that. Like we don't know who goes first, who does what. We need to practice. This is horrible, and we live on
the air. The devil is a liar. But I was thinking it was another song that said, you move the devil to the rear. I don't know. I forgot the name of the song. But however, let's get into Al Green. Everything's going to be all right, because everything's going to be all right here on the Covenant Cafe. Let's get Al Green moving.
For the true to be ready.
Interesting stories here as a part of our Weird News segment, and are we ready?
Let's get it.
Check this out.
Yes, sir.
Black widows found on grapes at supermarkets in several states.
Are you serious?
First bananas, now grapes. No food is safe. A Pennsylvania woman got quite the shock Thursday when she was washing some red grapes and felt her fingers brush up against something slimy. Yvonne Whalen saw a long spider leg creep over the top of one of the pieces of fruit immediately and dropped it into the sink. A spider expert later confirmed her internet search revealed it was a young black widow crawling on her grapes.
Dang.
Yes.
You know, bruh, what's dangerous about that is it's not just a regular spider. Like, a black widow is very venomous.
Yeah, absolutely. The appetite-ruining find follows several similar incidents. Wow, I can't say it. Instances. There we go. Of the deadly spiders found on grapes at supermarkets in Michigan, Missouri, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. This is what Food Safety News reports. She was.
I wonder what they're after.
Say it again.
I wonder what they're after. Why they're being attracted to the fruit? What is it on the fruit? Is it like some chemical that's on it that these spiders recognize and they're going on to those?
That's definitely a good question. The lady, she said she saw the legs moving frantically. She stated that she's seen bugs and fruit before, and she thought she didn't think nothing of it. But then it was a very big spider that she'd never seen before. She wrapped the container, in a plastic bag and handed it off to an employee. One that she spotted a red marking on the spider's abdomen, which is a common characteristic of black widows. As a precaution, the chain opted to remove all grapes from stores in the Milwaukee area.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. Now, in another incident this month in Michigan, a lady saw a spider web in a bag of grapes purchased at a Kroger in Brighton, Michigan.
Yeah, I
now,
feel
a
like
lot of
little
people,
web stuff like that, but not bugs.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, she said she looked in the grapes, and there was a black widow spider staring at her as well.
Yeah. Mm. So, you guys, you know, definitely got to be careful about, you know, your fruits. And a good thing she was washing them off. You know, what if she was one of those people that just grab them and, okay, I got a, you know, a handful of grapes, and she moves on and toss it in her mouth. But she was in the process. She was in the process of cleaning. I mean, that's, I think that's very interesting as well. And I know me personally, the pesticides that they spray on the fruit make my mouth itch. So I don't know if that has anything to do with the spiders, you know, locking into the grapes there. Now, check this out. How one driver racked up $200,000 toll bill traveling from Virginia to D.C.
He literally chose those roads. He had to. Continue.
Try to set a world record.
Yes. One Virginia driver learned the hard way when he was recently slapped with a $200,000 toll bill for failing to pay his dues while driving on the Dulles toll road every night for 3.5 years.
Oh, man.
That's like here we used to have the photo radar in Arizona. You can rack that up here and see if you drive too fast. Just kidding. Get that photo radar tickets.
This is insane. They provided me with a stack of summons that was 12 inches high. Now, according to Fox 5 DC, he owed only $440 and missed tolls since January 2013. It costs $1.75 per car to pass through the toll roads on the main plaza. However, that sum swelled to a whopping $202,000 because of fees and fines. The Virginia Department of Transportation charges a $25 administration fee per violation and up to a $500 fine per infraction, depending on the number of offenses. Now, Metropolitan Washington Airport's authority spokesman, Christopher, said Bouncier had incurred 335 total violations.
Wow.
Yes. That's now, they said that is the highest, the largest number of violations that has ever been taken to court in that area.
Wow.
I want to know what kind of car he drives.
Me too. You're asking the right question.
Now, check this out. This person is not the only driver in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area who has racked up a hefty bill last year. Now, the Washington Post reported that 8 car rental companies owe between $80,000 and $200,000 in unpaid tolls and penalties. Yes. Yes, I don't know how they're gonna do that. Now this young lady who this young man who his tolls were this large amount of money, his lawyers definitely managed to wrestle his bill down to a mere $40,000.
A mere.
Mere.
Cool.
That's VIP parking right there. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool, you think.
Now this guy has to pay $150 a month until the bill is paid in full. So basically this breaks down to he won't be if he goes according to the $150 a month, according to that, he won't get finished with that bill until 2067.
Bro, I got a student loan. Did you understand that? That's a student loan.
Yes.
So he just does it all the time. He could pay $150 a month for the rest of his life and just drive in and out of D.C. whenever he wants.
I can't do it.
Now, this is a small story here in the Philadelphia area. They're trying to link chronic lateness. They're saying chronic lateness
may actually be a medical condition. According to a new study, chronically being tardy is actually a medical condition. They still trying to improve it because the study says the condition affects the same side of the brain as ADHD, which is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. This condition is not, however, recognized by the American Psychiatric Association, but they are still working. They're working on this as we speak. So, if you are tardy all the time, you might be ill. You may have an illness.
And that makes me so it makes me mad because they're trying this with a lot of stuff. Did y'all hear about they're trying to make pedophilia a sexuality? Did y'all hear about that?
No.
So this guy likes little boys. That's his sexuality. They're literally trying to legalize that. I forget which state they tried that in, but. Look at this. This is ridiculous.
It is.
And now
you're
telling me
that
my
thing I'll chime in with you guys? You know that thing
again?
You know the marriage, the organization is one of them I was working with not too long ago. You know how we had California has Prop 8. Okay, I helped get that passed. Marriage is between one man and one woman. Now, the federal law recently allowed the same-sex marriage to be acceptable there. Now, it didn't do away with the other ones, the protection, the DOMA, which is a Marriage Protection Act, is a federal law. It's a protected status. Now, the feds accepted it so that if you're married in any, you know, state, if they allow it, like Arizona doesn't allow it, but California does, you do that California. Now, the feds will recognize it. You can deal with them on taxes with your partner. Now, what I emphatically prophesied to them straight up, I said, if they start playing with this, where does that end? Marrying your dog? What about when you die? Does the dog get all your stuff? It's going to be children.
Yeah,
you know what? NAMBLA, one of the most horrible organizations I dislike, is that they call it Natural Association, Love Boy, whatever thing. Okay, association. I'm like, what? There's nothing natural about that. People need to realize.
Right.
It's an excuse. You could say you got sleep apnea. Okay, that's a medical condition. You can't breathe. But you can't get up on time and get to work. That's part of that, you know, set a new rule for January 1st. Set your alarm. Be in conjunction with God's plan in having that plan and executing it. Not laziness is not a sickness. I'm sorry. You work your way into it. Chemical imbalance. I'll tell you that right now. Chemical imbalance. Yeah. Makes people have these problems. I know about ADHD. I tell them I'm ADD, ADHD, and OCD all at the same time. But it's a gift. Just have to know how to use it. It's a chemical.
Yeah, if they're trying to say that the sexuality, that's scary.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not. Wow, exactly. And I was even taking it further because apparently you see it more often, and I'm not picking, but you see it more often in the Catholic Church with these priests messing with these little boys. And if they legalize it, man, how many stories are going to come out?
Right. Well, look at it one step further, Lamont. Think about how that happens to the children. You know, they're saying was, I'll testify, on the psychological world, the thing NAMBLA used to say is get them before they're 8 or it's too late. They know if they can start messing with them kids before they're 8, they can ruin them, in my opinion, and they have them, you know, all. What does it do ultimately? Makes them into atheists. Maybe not everybody. I'm just saying, you see where that line went along. These are one of those roadblocks. How can we do a Job on them? They're too young in the spirit to be able to decipher what's going on. They're going after the kids earlier and earlier to get them into that realm, you know, get them away from God.
Yeah.
Put that divide in them right now so we can mess them up for the rest of their life. You know, now they want to call it all disease. No, it's a disease. There's nothing wrong. They can never be cured. Sex offenders can never be cured. I don't care if it's the children or the women. The problem, they cannot cure it. God can. God can.
Right.
But it's not curable by medications. It can't be. You see how they thwart him with the meds? Say, oh, take the medicine, let him out. It's okay, he's not going to rape again. Yeah, when he doesn't take that medicine, he's going to be right back to him, or she. I'm not going to be gender biased here. Either or.
Yeah.
They're going to go right back at it. Again, it's that self-control and submission to God's laws. We wouldn't have any of these problems, but go ahead. Sorry, I had to put my two cents in.
No, that's good.
No, that's absolutely.
A lot of the problems, a lot of the problems come down the line as far as we don't have any form of accountability anymore. We don't challenge emotions or feelings. Like, you know, you psych major, you know, why do you feel this way?
Yep.
What do you feel when you do this? Where is this coming from?
Right.
What happened? I mean, these are the questions we don't ask anymore. We really don't. And because we're not challenging, we're not even challenging ourselves. We're kind of ignoring it. Like, example, like Lamont, your situation, for you to say, well, this is how I felt the anger come up. I mean, that is a part of therapy. That is a part of healing, to say that this is what happened. This is how I felt by it. I think this is what's the boundary. You know what I mean? It's just being transparent like that and even being realer about the situation. We don't understand that when these things happen, we also have to see, okay, well, what is God pulling out of me? So, like, example, somebody went off on me and I got extremely angry all of a sudden. The Lord is saying, well, why did you get so angry if I dwelled in you? So what is it about the situation that triggered? What was triggered? And then you start thinking back, well, my mom used to talk to me a certain kind of way and it made me mad. Well, you have to let that go because this is not your mom that you're dealing with. So now we're seeing how God is developing and growing us up. And the reason, since people don't want to deal with this kind of therapy, healing, accountability, you remove the standard. I mean, it all goes back to what we were saying earlier. Get rid of the standard, then we straight. We can do whatever we want and be however we want to feel.
Yep. Absolutely. Just like you said, taking the Bible and prayer out of school. Every day we used to go to school. How'd you start your day? You heard a little bit about God, reminded that little young spirit. See what I'm saying? They started with these kids, and it's an uphill battle for us protecting our kids and praying that extra prayer with them before they go to school because it's a free-for-all there now. You know what I mean? That protection isn't there anymore, the Word of God, like it was. And they prayed over the airwaves at school.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. That's true.
Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, man, we going in hard, but I'm going to tell you what. We'll go into another song by the meeting. We had her on the show a while ago. And the song is "I Won't Complain." She did a nice little spin on this song here. And then Deacon is around here surfacing. I've seen him walking back and forth. So, ladies and gentlemen, hey, we going in on this Saturday. Let me see. Wow, I said Saturday. That's how hard we going in. I don't even know what day it is. But this is Sunday before.
It's Saturday somewhere.
Absolutely. Before Thanksgiving, this is Sunday before Thanksgiving. Hope you guys get full of the words that we are spreading to you. So we're going to get into "I Won't Complain" here on the Covenant Cafe.
Who is it by?
Shanita.
Some hills to climb.
on complaint. You know what? Before we get into Deacon, I know he's waiting out there patiently, and Miss Charlie hasn't had the pleasure of meeting this guy. So you had to be on your toes, yeah. Charlie. Okay.
Okay.
Speaking of, I have a story before Deacon comes in.
Absolutely, go ahead for it.
All right, this story it falls along the lines of the weird news segment. All right,
okay.
Y'all brace yourselves.
Uh-oh.
Man successfully sues wife over ugly children.
What? Wait, hold on.
And it was her fault?
Yo.
What?
Yo, I've been holding this story, and I was like, because we know we haven't been on the air. And I'm like, yo, I cannot wait to share this true story.
What?
True story.
We can put a music under this one.
A Chinese man divorces his wife and sues her for giving birth to what he calls extremely ugly kids. The thing that happened is he won the case. He sued her for $120,000. This is the exact words. Quote, I married my wife out of love, but as soon as we had our first daughter, we began to have marital issues, he told the Irishman. Our daughter was incredibly ugly to the point where it horrified me. So,
wow.
Listen, the thing about it is, what's in depth about the story is that his wife had she had $100,000 worth of surgery. She's from South Korea. So with that being said, I mean, she's ugly. So I don't want to say she's ugly, but she is. And the thing is, that's fraud. If you consider it, like, that's fraud. So there's other stories, like I've read other notes and articles, because a lot of people interviewed him. And he said, you have to think about it like this. I married this beautiful woman, and her name is Beth. And come to find out, she's not this beautiful woman I married. That's fraud. So if you think about it, like, I order a pepperoni pizza, and you bring me out, and come to find out, this pizza was made out of broccoli. It wasn't made out of dough. It wasn't made out of cheese. It wasn't made out of pepperoni sausage. It wasn't made out of tomato sauce. This is broccoli. And then give me my money back. I don't care. I don't care if it did have this woman has a vagina and everything. It's a woman. But you wasn't what I paid for. So, that being said, he won the case, and it is said that there will be more to follow. So, that's tough. Imagine being the child, the ugly child. Like, how can you imagine that? And
it's
kids are ugly. Huh?
I wonder if they're still married.
Wow.
Oh, of course not. She is now his ex-wife.
Okay.
They're still married. Oh,
no, no, she's now his ex-wife.
Oh, okay. Wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
that
you gotta check out this story. Look it up. You're gonna be in the family portrait is horrible. Like,
maybe she gets to use it as a tax write-off for a bad debt.
Wow. That's amazing.
Oh my goodness.
Beauty
and the Beast.
Hello? Yes, yes.
We're all dumbfounded.
Yes, yes.
Wow,
what an incredible story there, Lace, about the ugly baby. I've seen a lot of ugly babies in my life. I baptized many of them, want to keep them underwater a long time, but they survived the baptism. But Galatians 5 says, 5:22 says,
Hey, B,
yes.
Before you get into that, we got a new guest on the show. We have a new host on the show.
You
want to say hello to Charlie?
I have something
hey,
to
Deacon.
Say to her, but I want to address the ugly baby situation. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, but not ugliness. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And so nowhere in that scripture determines if a baby is beautiful or ugly. And for him to sue his wife because of ugly babies is wrong. Just wrong.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Obviously.
Amen.
Amen. Now, this beautiful young lady that you have here, your name is what?
Charlie Baltimore.
Amen.
Nice to
meet you. Amen. Amen. Are you from Baltimore? I've never seen you there.
No, sir. California.
California. Amen. Amen. I urge you, brothers and sisters of the Lord, is for I am with you and no one is going to attack or harm you because I have many people in this city. And that is you and Lace, okay? Because I just protected you with Acts 18, verse 10. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Okay. So I want to say one more thing before I get into the completely useless facts. And you guys are really trying to understand the story of the ugly baby disease or whatever is going on. but God said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, so you don't have to understand why that baby is ugly. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Because okay. That was in Proverbs 3:5. Amen. So let's get into some useless facts. Elephants only sleep for 2 hours each day.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Lace, by you only getting 1 hour of sleep a day, that's saying that you are related to an elephant. I don't know.
I was just thinking that.
Now, for all you people who play the game of Pac-Man, there are exactly 2,240 dots on an arcade Pac-Man game.
I was wondering that. Now I know. How many was that? 240?
240.
Okay.
Now, this is for the men and actually for the women as well. So if you have a significant other, this is something interesting. A man's beard grows fastest when he anticipates sex. So,
say that again? Wait. Say that again?
A man's beard grows fastest when he anticipates sex. So if you're around a pedophile and his beard is growing out of control, you better watch out. Because he's...
Yeah.
All right. Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Call out my brother.
Oh.
Hey, go talk to him.
Yeah. Real.
Now, this is far on the far, far left wing, you guys, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very interesting fact, and it's real. An American urologist bought Neapolitan's penis for $40,000.
You bought what?
What kind was it? Like little kids
Napoleon,
in class. What was that again?
Napoleon.
We were very good students,
like. Private parts. I'm going to say it that way.
Uh-huh.
An American urologist bought Napoleon's private part for $40,000.
I want to know who had him this long. And you're talking about the Napoleon?
Napoleon. Yeah, are you talking about the Napoleon?
The little man complex guy. Okay,
yes.
Let's check in.
Yeah.
What is he doing with it? And who had it? You're right. That's a great question.
What did he keep it in?
It?
I want to see
like,
a picture.
Maybe his beard is growing fast right now. And he's anticipating some things to go down. One more
you better shave.
What? Did he reserve it? Like, is it reserved? Or is it like a antique? Okay, go ahead. Continue.
I don't know. But this is for you scientists out there. In space, astronauts cannot cry because there is no gravity, so the tears cannot flow.
Mm.
I wonder if they fly upwards. Their tears go up to heaven. Maybe they do up there. They go the other way. They have to go
up
there.
I have no idea, but I will leave you with this.
Bathroom.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting fact.
Yeah, I heard, but we won't talk about it. It's only rumor.
Amen, amen. So I want you to, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to leave you with this word. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's 1 Peter 5:7, okay? So if you're anxious or you have this huge anxiety about something that's coming up, like Lace's new music, listen to it. Listen to it.
Amen.
It's some
good stuff.
It is some good stuff. Yeah, I know I can rap. But I can rap better than this young man here. But I tell you what,
D, that's the nicest thing you've ever said about anything in life.
You probably can rap music, but you can't rap a gift for nothing.
There you go. I knew it had to be an insult somewhere.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Christmas time, so if you get a bad gift from Lace, you know he can only rap music, not gifts. Amen.
I'm not coming to your party.
So. I'm leaving. You guys have a great evening, okay? Amen.
Wow. Wow, what a neat guy.
Yeah. What did he mean?
This was the nicest Deacon has ever been. Ever.
Wow.
Like,
what happened?
You remember before he was just mean and he was starting to talk about us.
Nice. And you introduced me to him, like, throw me to the wolves. Here, talk to him. I'm like, I already heard you. He's scary. I don't know. Hi. No.
Wow. So he was pretty nice.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. He's cool today. He still got his fan club, obviously.
Yeah, they had his big fans. Now they have pictures. Did you see the guy with the picture of his Deacon face?
Yeah, I saw it. Sadly.
Wow. I don't understand that. But ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna get into another musical break. But apparently, Deacon likes Charlie. He apparently gave her a hard time, huh?
Yeah, he did.
No, he was nice. I wanna see a picture of that Napoleon business. But you know, some interesting facts there. Elephant
Napoleon. I just saw you guys cracking up. What happened with Napoleon?
Did he say, okay, a urologist?
Some guy from... Go ahead, you got it, Charlie.
I forget where he said, though. We were really bad students, first of all. We kept having to ask him over and over. What did you say?
That
he said a urologist purchased...
It was an American urologist.
Napoleon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The guy with the little complex, the little man complex, Napoleon. He bought his private part.
He Napoleon.
And he did what to Napoleon?
Napoleon,
I don't know what he's going to do.
Dead. I don't know how they got his body part. I want to know who kept him this long. They should put that in the Smithsonian or something.
So,
why would that even be in a museum? That's what I want to know. Why? Like, if you look to your right, everybody, we have Napoleon.
You can put it on the
wire
show. Remember the wire shows?
I don't
know. That wire show, like, is this truth or a lie? I'd be going, that's a lie.
Come on.
that's wow. So that's definitely something incredible, which is definitely a great segue to a song, 2103, we had on this show a while back. And this song is incredible. Here on the Cover of the Cafe, we have I got to do another introduction now because it was so used to we have – it's, you know, poetic, you know. So we got to do this little triage thing here. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have myself, your host, Lamont Ferguson, and...
Poetic Lace.
And...
Charlie Baltimore.
The Charlie Baltimore. All right, and the song is incredible here on the Covenant Cafe. Whatever the Deacon was talking about, it was really incredible, but... this song has nothing to do with that.
So incredible. So incredible. did I get here? How do I stay? When it ends, what will you say? Engulfed in the fire, submerged by the flood, I'm nestled in your love. That's so incredible. You tapped me on the shoulder and reminded me of favor. I'm wonderfully made, oh, and constantly amazed and rejoicing every day at your marvelous work. Oh.
My toes. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Uh-oh. It's mm-hmm. sort of like you're in church, you're tapping your toes, you know, on that wood floor. You know,
yep.
I don't know if you guys got wood floor. You know, some churches still got the wood floor. I actually went to a church that still had the vent and the floor. This was a little while ago.
Oh, those kind of burn your feet, too. If you go touch them when they're hot, they burn your feet.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. Man, so there's some interesting things going on as far as the three of us. Let's get into some of the things that's coming up with, I guess we'll start with ladies first. What are some of the things that you have
activities that you have coming up so we can let everyone know, and then we'll, I guess, go around the table.
Well, let's see. I'm working with actually some new artists that are totally unsigned, really, really good. They do, you know, like a cross, kind of like how Lace's song, the Soul Therapy, that kind of same format, you know, rap, some wonderful gospel singing in there. And these are people that I had been working with, you know, on the job. And I was like, you guys all really sing good. So do you and you. Let's get all of you together and see what that sounds like. And it's coming along really, really well. But I'm working on a personal project to get Pastor Saeed freed, actually, out of an Iranian prison. He's American citizen, and he's been there for over a year now. That's one of my personal things that hits me near and dear. I just keep thinking about him. And actually, we have an ability to tweet the president in Iran and tell him to let him go. I guess he has a tweet, and I just got that update from some friends. I went, boy, we'll put that blast out there. I'll send it to you guys on Facebook when I get a minute, because I don't know how to tweet yet. I'm just learning. I'm chirping. I haven't learned to tweet yet. But I absolutely. But yeah, that's pretty much what I'm working on right now. Two focal points.
Sweet. Lace, what are you working on?
Man, good. So I just got nominated for the Praise Factor Award in the category of Holy Hip Hop. So you guys, you know, that's
congrats.
What's up. Glory to God. That's my whole thing. Like, well, that's what's up.
That is something big.
You know it. You didn't do it, huh? You're giving that glory.
Yeah. I don't even know who nominated me. I don't even, it's just, this is what's up, you know, so win, lose, draw, whatever, however it goes. So I know voting, it's a People's Choice Award, so the polls will open up for voting in December. So I guess, you know, we will be talking about it. I'll shoot you guys that link, and, you know, we'll see what happens, you know.
Congrats.
We'll
are they going to, do you have to go anywhere to do anything on that, or are they just going to put you on? What are they doing? What are you going to do out of that?
The award show will be held, and I think I have to read the email, but the award show itself will be held in, I think Charlotte, in either Charlotte or Tennessee, Knoxville.
Nice.
So I'm not necessarily sure just yet, but definitely you guys will be getting plenty of updates come that time frame, when the time frame comes. So that is up.
Cool.
That's what's up. Also, I'm in a play called The Final Decision. I'm one of the lead actors. That will be debuting in Jacksonville, Florida, this January 5th, 2014. So, you know, we have that coming up. And then I have a couple events that I will be performing at, performing, ministering, whatever words you want to use that day. I'll be performing at here in actually in Jacksonville, Florida. So we got some things coming up. And now, just to let you guys know, for everybody's listening, now that, you know, I have released Soul Therapy and I'm getting back into the groove, I'm now open for booking. So to book me, you can contact us at management@poeticlace.com. You know, y'all already know the deal. I travel, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we just, however God's moving, that's how I want to move. I want to be in place. So it's just a constant eating of the word. So that's something that you're going to hear from me as far as what's going on with me all the time. It's just straight up growth and learning and God and the word of God through Jesus Christ. So it's just, you know, being a blessing to people and getting whooping from God and growing, you know what I mean? So
that's what it is.
The only one you look forward to getting whooped by. That's a good one.
Because it's crazy.
I'm coming to Arizona.
Sometimes it can be embarrassing, but I know that's growth, you know, to say, to look back at my life and be like, before I used to look at things like this, but now I look at it like this. Oh, that's growth. And the only reason I grow, like Soul Therapy itself, I never got a chance to tell you, Charlie. We never really talked about the song, but Soul Therapy itself, it came from my journey. It came from a journey of true stories. I dealt with a young man.
I could feel it.
You know, who literally was raped and molested when he was 7 years old. And when he turned 14, he got forced into male prostitution. And then he's 19 years old currently, and he's struggling with his sexuality. And then there's this young lady who, she's the type, if you go on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you see half-naked pictures of her. And the thing is, you see these pictures because she's looking for love. She's looking for love in all the wrong places, and it was never translated to her that she's a daughter of God. She is special. Keep your legs closed. None of these things are told to her. So with my experiences with people, period, you know, this is what was produced. this song, the writing, the actual pulling people together for the vocals, and everything
yep.
came from a real life experience. And that happened in my chastisement, as far as beforehand, I used to be homophobic. I'm like, oh, you gay. No, I can't deal with it. And the Lord said,
right.
I can't use you with that kind of mentality. So with that being said, I'm not going to even warn you that I'm going to put homosexuals around you. I'm going to put people who struggle with being promiscuous around you. I want to expose you and your feelings about things, too. So in the midst of that, I grew. And now it's no longer, I literally don't see a person like, oh, they're a sinner or they're just awful. That's why I can have a conversation with atheists, because I understand there's a soul that's in danger. And I could be, and if we all realize this, us as Christians, if we realize that we are the Christ that they're going to see, we are the lights of the world, we are the salt of the earth. So with that being said, we are ordained. We are, because of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, for this time period, you may be the only, you may be the closest thing to Jesus Christ they see. So if you're not in line with the word, if you're not in line to talk, or if you just got some attitude, they have actually missed out because of you.
Yeah.
And now their blood is on your hands. It's like that deep to me. So it's now in my mind, it's like, you know what, I can't afford to have a bad day. Now, we have bad days.
Yep.
But I can't afford to say, man, I'm in a bad mood. I don't feel like talking to anybody, or I'm going to keep my mouth closed, or I'm not going to read my word today, or I'm not going to pray today. I can't afford to have that, because every day, because God has granted me influence, he's granting you guys influence. God is growing us up. He's opening doors. So every day, because this is happening, there's always an opportunity for somebody to see Christ. And it's not necessarily like, oh, I'm going to just preach scriptures to them. It's me smiling, hugging, loving, talking, sharing good information. It's just the experience, and it's God's love, me just sharing love. So I can't afford to have a bad day and say, man, I ain't got time for this today. And that person, that one person that I mistreated, commit suicide. Come on.
Yeah, or
you
not.
You can't.
Or saved.
Or, yeah, whatever the case may be. So with that being said, you know, that is the whole thing. Is that's why, you know, you'll hear me say it joyfully as far as, yeah, I get whoopings every day. Because there's always a challenge of my character, because God is saying, okay, that world might see you as whatever, but this is how I see you, and this is where I need to grow you up. So we are always growing continually. It's always something we can improve. And I look forward to that, even though, you know, it's times of embarrassment, chastisement, and challenging. And challenges are not always comfortable. They're not comfortable. But when you can come out and look back, just like any trial or tribulation, remember, you heard me say this plenty of times, you guys, if I would have never been homeless, I wouldn't have had that experience with different ethnic backgrounds, or I wouldn't have had that experience to step out and becoming an artist. I've been the same on me, trying to get my education and getting me, doing me. Period.
He pulled you out of your comfort zone and put you in another zone, make you learn a little. Yep.
Yeah.
That's how he does it. I had that same thing when I had that surgery. We have that in common, Lace. When I had that surgery I told you about, the one that was a year ago May.
Yeah.
And I lost my job,
right.
I lost my house, I was in ICU for a week, and I went down, I was in the homeless shelter for almost 2 weeks. I learned more in my trials and tribulations and became closer to God with a bigger testimony than I ever had than before I went in there.
Come on.
Now, and
it is,
thing
I'm telling
is,
you.
We all pull in situations that we arrive from. Like with me, you know, growing up through domestic violence and just seeing a whole lot of, you know, real crazy situation made me into the family guy that I am today. You know what I'm saying? I have a great relationship with moms and my dad, but like, you know, my younger brother, you know, his dad was abusive, and then, you know, it's just crazy situations that I seen that made me who I am, you know.
Absolutely.
So everybody has their path, you know. God takes you through things, you know, and you know He took you guys through the homeless situation, you know. So you guys seen a view. You know, and like, you know, I work in a alternative school, and, you know, the kids, you know, just see us as the teacher and the counselor, that we have this perfect thing. And so I had to sit them down one day and say, look, man,
You know, I've seen, you know, dead bodies. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, just walking from the store, walking from my dad's house to the store, and you see in the field somebody laid over. You know, I've seen this stuff. I've seen domestic violence firsthand. I've been carjacked during the daylight. You know what I'm saying? So would you think that you see because I may be dressed nice, it's not what how I'm dressed. It's, you know, I've been through some stuff to get the way I am. You know, you have to go through some tough situations to understand God.
Right.
And respect for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you feel that you haven't been through anything, you don't know who God is.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? You know, no, God takes us and places us. He adds little things to us and makes us stronger as we go along.
Yeah.
You know, the best illustration I like to use is, you touched on it earlier, you know, there's preseason, the regular season, and then postseason. You know, that's the playoffs and all that stuff. You can't get on that field unless you practice. You know, you can't go through life expecting everything to be perfect unless you, and nothing will be perfect, but you can't get anywhere unless you practice. So you have to read the word to practice to get better. I need to get better at that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And yesterday showed me that I need to get better at that, you know, fast. Because had I said one more thing or had he said one more thing, who would have known? Who knows what that would have gone to?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I could have gotten in a lot of trouble because I could have kept running my mouth. You never know. You know?
True.
But that just kind of proves to me that, okay, look, man, you gotta tighten up, man. You got to tighten up.
Yeah, good stuff, good stuff.
You know, so.
That's what we preach.
You know, we have these situations that we deal with, and trials are there to get for you to get better. You learn from your experiences. You know, if your dad told you, or whom your guardian told you when you were young, don't touch that stove because it's hot. We all did what?
Yeah.
We tested it anyway.
I put my hand real close.
Like you said, testing.
Yeah, let's see how hot it is.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's see how hot that is.
And guess what? As of right now, who's going to touch that stove? Because we know that thing is hot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, my kids. Yeah. They do it.
Yeah. So, you know, we got to move about accordingly. So we actually within our 4-minute mark, great conversations today. So at this point, we need to go ahead and get into our words to live by. What are our words to live by here, ladies?
All righty. Our words to live by, it comes from Joshua chapter 1, starting at, we'll start at verse 6, because he reiterates some words that you guys really need to hold on to. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide the inheritance of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then we'll have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So as we close, I mean, the whole thing that I really wanted you guys to catch was one, was be strong and of good courage. Note, look how many times it was said, be strong and good courage. Not only that, but this is what was key about that. He said, hold on to the law that it shall not depart you. Meditate in it day and night. Observe it according to all that is written. Now, we know that the law is the Bible.
We hold on to this. We meditate in it day and night. But what would happen if we do this day and night, if we hold on to this equation? What would happen was you will make your way prosperous, and then there will be good success. So our key to our good success, being strong and courageous, being strong and courageous in what? In our meditation in the Word. When? Day and night. This is a daily and a night thing. And the thing about it is, in Hebrew, the word night is also another word. It's also another word for a trial, tribulation, or dark times. Mm-hmm. With that being said, and daily and day, it also means consistently, day after day, consistently. So consistently in the good times and the bad times, every day, meditate in the Word, and you will be prosperous and of good success. Keyword prosperous means to move forward. So prosperous is not just some word of money, but it's to move forward. And to move forward, we know as growth. It's to continue to press forward. So this lies our success. This is where our success is. So for this week, for the rest of your life, be strong and courageous. Be successful. Meditate in the Word, and you will be prosperous, and you will be successful. And this is what God ordains as success.
Absolutely. And like I said, success, I know we got 60 seconds, but success is not always money.
Correct.
If it was wherever you plan to go, as you set your goals and you step forth towards those goals, then you can become successful. And that's whether you say, hey, I want to be raise a family, I want to do X, Y, and Z, whatever it is.
Yes, good stuff.
It is your success. Ladies and gentlemen, we definitely, definitely enjoyed our conversations. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And
Charlie Baltimore. It was a pleasure
Charlie
with
Baltimore.
You guys. That
was good. Man, it's been
Absolutely.
Great. So actually, we may check you out after the Thanksgiving weekend, so we'll be back in about 2 weeks. God bless. Hello?
Hey.
Is it over?
Yeah.
Okay.